It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Hey, welcome in 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Scotty?
I'm good. How are you?
You ready to set sail and go conquer some land as the clouds cover the sun? It's like a full moon for a werewolf or a vampire. When the clouds set in and you get that ugly weather and it's a little dreary, that's when I come out of my shell. Like, that's...
This is our weather.
It's when I'm at my best.
Yep. I'm with you.
I know most people love the sun. Right? I mean, we could say the majority of people that are probably listening to the show right now love the sun. They just want sunny weather. But I have to have this. I know it depresses some people, but... clouds and snow and cold weather, it's just a refresher to me.
The snow I could live without, but the cloud cover, if I could live, and I think you were talking about, what was that place
Astoria.
Up in Oregon?
Astoria, Oregon.
Where it's
Goonies
like,
was filmed.
Where it's like constantly cloudy and like 60 degrees.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, there's a couple of places on the coast in Oregon that are just gorgeous.
That would be my jam right there.
If Oregon could get their state figured out, then maybe I'd think about getting a place over there. But it's just gorgeous, man. It's like this every day, except for not snowing.
Yeah.
Maybe a little drizzly, but I
can
like
handle
drizzly.
I can handle the drizzle. Again, the snow, not a huge fan of.
I married a Southern California girl.
Yeah.
And this does not fit her well at all. Like, she woke up in just a terrible mood. I woke up, I'm like, man, life is amazing. I can't believe how great life is.
I had a friend of mine who tweeted out something about how his wife, he married somebody from the South. And like, I think she mentally prepares herself for anywhere from November to February being bad. But when it's like the March, April snowstorm, that does not sit well at all.
That
causes some problems.
It disrupts people. Yeah. I want everybody to slow down and let's not drive so fast on the roads. Every time there's just a little dusting like this, news channels love it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, oh, accidents to report.
Be careful out there, people.
Get those cameras up in Parley's Canyon. And yeah, they love to show all
live on the scene on another 10-car pileup.
And it's like, man,
it's so bad out here, guys.
And it makes us all feel like nobody knows how to drive.
You guys, we really need to slow down out there.
Did you just go Susie Colbert?
Yeah. No, that's not Susie Colbert.
Oh.
It's what is it, Waldron or something.
Goodness gracious.
Of all the amazing things I've ever seen.
There's snow in George Steinbrenner's box.
You hit something right there. That accent, they did that
don't
impression you
stop
just did.
It.
What do you mean he hit something? Like, what are you thinking?
No, he's
Lloyd?
Saying that, that we need to make a one-minute cinema of maybe Susie.
Like Susie. There was something there.
Mercy!
Oh, man.
I got it. I was a little worried because I was texting you last night, and you were in a bit of a salty mood because we got a good heap and a bad basketball yesterday.
Yeah, I was bugged.
It's like, you know, when you when you roll up to the lunch lady and you think it's going to be pizza day, and then no, it's liver and onions day. And you're like, no, get that off my plate. I don't want
pizza
that.
Pizza day, man.
Thought it was pizza day.
I thought we were getting mac and cheese and fresh fried corn dogs. Like, that's...
Yes, maybe those tater tots.
I'm talking about liver and onion. Get that stuff out of my face.
I want that. Yeah. It's not what I wanted. I was planning on something better.
I will tell you, I was just talking to DJ on the way out, and there was still something a little bit unique about last night that I was hoping was happening. I felt like both games set up for an incredible comeback and a great, memorable victory. You know, even down 15, I thought that Gonzaga could come back. Even down 15, I thought that the Utah Jazz could come back.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat there until about 6 minutes left in that Jazz game thinking, okay, at any time.
Here we go.
All it takes is, you know, a couple of good defensive efforts and then a couple of big threes, and you're right back in. The Jazz whittled it back down to, you know, a workable margin.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga worked it back to within 9.
I think it was like an eight or nine. I think it was, yeah, you're right. I think it was single digits. It was 9. Everybody's like, all right, here we go. And Baylor just wham, put it right back to 17. Said, we'll have none of that. Thank you very much.
Just pulled the crowbar out of the trunk.
And that was like 9 minutes left in the game. And I tweeted out, I'm like, this feels like that was game. Like, that felt like that was Gonzaga fight, scratch, claw. Got it to 9, had a little momentum, and Baylor said, ha ha, no.
Just shut the door on it.
And if I'm Gonzaga, I don't know how I come back from that, and they did not come back from that.
I don't know if I've seen a team in a championship game show up the way Baylor showed up.
Oh, yeah. Just bully ball, too.
It was just bully ball across the board. And a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it was fun to watch that kind of, you know, brutal, high energy, defensive effort, second chance. You know, one of the things I really look at when I'm trying to figure out just how much a team hustled, I look at second chance opportunities, because I think there's a lot of want and desire and drive. Now, there's a lot of game planning when it comes to second chance opportunities, how much you want to crash those offensive boards. But it was very apparent early on that Baylor was like, hey, we're fighting for every board, defensive and offensive. We're not going to leave and try to get back in position. We're going to fight for every board and every possession. And every time Baylor would hoist up a shot, you could see the guys that didn't take the shot would start to box, position, and fight for that offensive rebound. They grabbed 16 offensive rebounds last night that led to 16 second chance points. That tells me a lot about what Baylor wanted to do in that game. From the opening whistle, it was like, oh, this is going to be the opening whistle. The very first shot was a missed shot that led to a rebound and a quick putback.
Yep.
It was like, all right. And it just took Gonzaga too long to realize, oh, Baylor wants this more than us.
And once, you know, and I wanted to, from your aspect of a you know, as a professional athlete, and I know it's a little apples to oranges, but I remember, you know, I've watched some football games where the defense really sets a tone early on, and the offense, like, you know, my Broncos in the Super Bowl when they were playing the Seahawks, and that Denver offense had been scoring 40 plus points a game. I mean, they were just wrecking teams all year long offensively. And all of a sudden, you had Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner and these guys, and they just smacked him in the mouth on, like, the first two series. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, whoa, no, that's never happened to us this year. We've never dealt with this before. And they never could get any rhythm whatsoever. And once that defense smelled blood in the water, it was lights out. And it kind of felt that same way with Gonzaga. Like, they took a haymaker early. And they didn't know how to handle it. They've never dealt with it. And they were wobbling the entire ballgame.
Yeah. And you know what else that does? That sets the standard for what the officials are going to call and what they're not going to call.
Great point. Yep.
It sets the tempo of the game for the officials, because the officials are watching this aggression. And in their mind, they're like, okay, do we need to get a hold of this? Well, no, we're just going to let this one play out. We're going to let it play out, because they're both playing hard. Baylor's playing extremely aggressive. Let's let it play. Instead of blowing the whistle every time Baylor fights for a possession or a 50-50 ball, we're going to just let this one play out. This is the same with Denver in that situation. It's like, All right. Well, they're hitting the quarterback late. They're getting there in a half step, and they are putting the pop. Every time they could get a shot on the quarterback, they're taking a shot on the quarterback.
They're getting really grabby with the wide receivers, but nothing's getting called.
Really physical just outside of the box. But how long are we going to extend the box and how physical? Well, those receivers are starting to hand battle, so we're just going to let this go. And sometimes you can – the way you approach the opening part of a game, sometimes it sets the standard for the way the officials have to call it. Otherwise, they're going to be busy all night throwing flags and blowing whistles. And I'm sure people are out there saying, no, officials have to call it the way they've got to call it. Understand that games have different flows.
Yep.
Officials have different flows to the way they're going to call it. And Baylor played so aggressive that there was probably 30 whistles that could have been blown last night against Baylor for Gonzaga that just weren't blown because it was overly aggressive. Now, the problem is you have to have guys on the other side of the ball that become the alpha male and that realize, oh, my gosh, this is getting really ugly. They're pushing, they're hitting, they're spitting, they're cussing, and this is nasty. And now you've got to be able to flip the switch to get more nasty. How far can you take it? How aggressive can you be? How much pain can you impose? How ugly can you make this? Because they're not backing down. And if we just continue to let this happen to us, then we're going to end up losing. So what can we do to try to change the tides of this? It's the one thing that I learned. Well, it's one of the major things I learned in sports. As hard as that person is pushing against you, you better push harder against them. And then when they push harder against you, you dang well better be ready to push that much harder against them. Because whoever ends up pushing the hardest is going to get the win. And that's a lesson in sports that's really difficult. And what I watched last night was Baylor set an incredible frenetic energy and tone that Gonzaga just couldn't reach. Or weren't willing to reach or did not have the ability to reach. But every time they rotated a big out to the perimeter to either defend against a big or a guard, anytime they got caught in that high pick and roll, every time Baylor was getting something to the rim in an alley-oop look or a pick and roll style, Gonzaga was just lost defensively.
Yeah.
And brutalized, beat up. Baylor's, they're tough.
They are tough. They are nasty, and they make plays. They get shot. They get good shots, and that's the thing. You know, I don't think Gonzaga's ever had to deal with a team that had that many playmakers on the court at one time. You just don't see that in the West Coast Conference. Let's continue on. We'll talk more about this championship game. Jazz also as well coming up a little bit later on. You're listening to Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Patterson will put the brakes on and dribble this one out. And the Baylor Bears do indeed bear down to knock off the unbeaten Gonzaga Bulldogs and claim the school's first men's basketball championship and just the second men's basketball title in the history of the state of Texas. Baylor 86, Gonzaga 70. Wire-to-wire winner for the Baylor Bears. National champions in 2021.
Just literally busted us out of anything we could possibly do on offense. And we were kind of playing, you know, with our back to the back, you know, not facing up. And we couldn't get anything generated going to the basket. We were kind of playing sideways. And then at the other end, they, you know, we had no answer as far as keeping some of their guards in front and made a couple of mistakes that we talked about not doing as far as giving them catch and shoot threes or shakedown threes, and they made us pay in a hurry.
Made them pay indeed, and it was bully ball. They were bigger, stronger, more athletic, and they were just roughed up Gonzaga. And Gonzaga had no answer, and the 76 Indiana Hoosiers can celebrate because there is still not a team that has gone undefeated.
And the West does not bring home the trophy.
Yes. I mean, well, you know, Texas is kind of westish.
I don't consider it.
Lubbock is West Texas.
That's West Texas. I just don't consider Texas the West Coast. I was really hoping it'd come back this way after so many years being in Texas or being out east. So it was a bummer. It wasn't the outcome that I was hoping for, but Baylor earned it. And I'll tell you, watching, you know, Jared Butler and Adam Flagler and not Donovan Mitchell, but Davion
Mitchell.
Mitchell as number 45.
Yep.
He was absolutely energetic and all over the court. You know, those guys combined for 69 points last night. And they were really just the core of what was happening physically and, of course, with the overall outcome. But I just did not realize that Baylor would be able to establish that energy. I didn't realize that they were that good at the perimeter shooting. Are they always that reliable on the perimeter? They made 44% of their three-point attempts. It was the point that you brought up. Every time Gonzaga made a run, Baylor would crush them with a couple of devastating threes.
Baylor this year from the three-point line shot 41%. They were the number one three-point shooting team in the country.
Okay, so again, 44%, 3% better than already their top average.
Yeah. And 36% of their points come from beyond the three-point line. So an elite-level three-point shooting team, but they don't rely on it heavily for their point distribution.
Well, because you could see how much work they did in interior.
Yeah.
They've got the bodies to really beat up people in the paint.
And they sure did that.
And they did that.
And then you kick out and you got guys that can stretch and shoot the three from the outside. I mean, it was recipe for disaster across the board.
That is Baylor's first men's basketball national title. And I follow Dennis Lindsay and Becky Lindsay, his wife, on Twitter.
Yeah, it was a good day for the Lindsay family.
You saw Dennis in his Letterman's jacket?
Yeah.
It was awesome. I love that. It just kind of a look into the household of the Lindsay family while they're watching Baylor win their first national title. Pretty cool.
I mean, not only do you have Dennis play, but his son played at Baylor as well. I mean, it was
That's a family affair.
That's a family thing right there. That was really cool. But yeah, it was a great night for college basketball, but not great night for drama. It was one of those nights where I think you see sometimes, and you talk about this all the time, and look, I know we'll get to the Jazz coming up a little bit later on, but this is when you have a team that is a little bit more of a finesse style team, and they play finesse basketball, and they're dependent on spacing, and everything needs to go right, but when they do, they look really great. But when you smack them in the mouth, sometimes they have problems with that. And last night, Gonzaga got smacked in the mouth, and they had some difficult times trying to rebound from that. And again, it was just one of those nights where it just got away from Gonzaga, and they could never reel them back in. Once it was, 9-0 out of the gate, once it was all Baylor right from the start, they were never reeling them back in. Gonzaga never had a chance.
Was this a matchup issue? Is there a team that would have matched up better?
I think it's a style issue, if that makes sense. I think it was what Gonzaga does well with their athletes and the way that they play created huge problems for Gonzaga. And I just think that there's some teams that just, you know, you look at Denver, right? And the Jazz. Denver matches up really well against the Jazz. We saw that in the playoffs last year. We've seen it earlier this year. There's just some ways that style and the way they play can create some problems. The Clippers and the Lakers, if they're healthy and they're athletic and they're big and they can force you out of your spacing, that's going to create problems. Whereas you play a team like Milwaukee, which is one of the better teams in the East, and the Jazz seemingly are able to handle that fairly easily.
I'm looking at some of the other games they've had through the tournament. Man, they dismantled Houston.
Yeah.
Wow, they beat up Houston.
Yeah.
78-59. Number three, Arkansas beat them 81-72. 9-point win there. Villanova, number five seed, beat them 62-51. Wisconsin, a nine seed, they beat them 76-63. 13-point win there. And then their opening round against Hartford, they beat them 79-55. So pretty, obviously, pretty impressive run. But it felt like they beat up Gonzaga even more than, you know, maybe that Houston game stands out. But
I mean, that's when you can tell a team really flexes and they're like, okay, we're in the Final Four. Because Houston had been playing great going into the Final Four. And then Houston gets wrecked by Baylor. And that was a game where I'm like, whoo.
Yeah.
This could be a problem. Because I anticipated that Baylor-Houston game to be a classic. If you were to tell me before the games on Saturday, what's going to be the great game, it's going to be Baylor-Houston. Like, all right, that's going to be your game you want to watch. That could be the one that goes right down to the wire. And Baylor was having none of it. And then it ended up being UCLA and Gonzaga is your classic.
They shot 46% from three against Houston.
Jeez.
And they out-rebounded Houston by eight rebounds. Just dominated Houston in every way, shape, and form, and did it defensively as well. Had a 25-point lead at one point in that game against Houston. Wow. It's funny because I get so enamored, I get so pulled into storylines of teams that sometimes I forget to look at the other team. I just didn't see Baylor coming this way. I'm sure a lot of people did, but you know, you start to spend so much time researching and watching and buying into a team, even though we could have started to look at Gonzaga and say, okay, but are they unbeatable when UCLA takes them to overtime and it takes a last-second heave in overtime to beat UCLA?
Yeah.
You know, we could have started to look at it then, but just didn't see Baylor coming the way they did. And Baylor, obviously, not undefeated team throughout the season. So as Scotty mentioned, we will go another year without a team that's undefeated throughout. They end the season 28-2.
Lost to Kansas and lost to Oklahoma State, and that was it. But, again, no undefeated season this year. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Jay Hill, the Weber State Wildcats, get another W. We'll talk to Jay Hill coming up next right here on The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated.
So, Chris, in the Western Conference, would you bet the Lakers or would you bet the field?
Assuming health, I'd still bet on the Lakers. I don't care if they're the number 10 seed and have to play in that play-in tournament to get in. I'd still bet on them. As long as you get 2 or 3 weeks of LeBron and Anthony Davis back in the mix, it's hard to bet against the Lakers. I'm not sold on the Clippers. They're still a team that has to show me mental toughness before I pick them to win anything. But the Lakers, to me, would still be the most formidable team out there, regardless of where they finish. It would almost be a shame for the Jazz if they finished the top seed to of staring down a healthy Lakers team in the first round of the playoffs. That would just probably be everybody's worst nightmare in Utah.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time to chat some Weber State Wildcats. Weber State gets another W, knocking off Southern Utah. Still remaining undefeated on the season. Joining us now, the head coach of Weber State, Jay Hill. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Doing good. How are you guys?
So good.
Doing really well. Hey, congrats on another W. And again, you know what? Your team needs to make plays and to make sure it gets done. And I got to imagine you like the way your team's responding, even when they deal with some adversity from time to time.
You know what? They're battle-tested right now and just continue to be so each week. And, you know, every football game you fight through adversity, but we've fought through our fair share already this year. And I'm proud of them, how they continue to respond. So that's a sign of a good team.
At what point did you know you were going to have Bronson Barron back, your starting quarterback?
Well, he took snaps throughout the week. They had him in a cast, a big cast, all the way until Thursday, which was a little worrisome just because of, you know, ball handling and taking snaps under center. There was actually one practice in there where he fumbled, you know, maybe three or four CQ exchanges. Jeez. And that had me a little concerned. And then they put him in a little bit of a softer one for, I think, Thursday practice. And when he showed that that had helped a lot, we felt pretty confident that he could be the guy.
Did I mean, and look, he's still young, he's still new to this team, but does he bring a bit of a calming influence when he's out there?
I mean, he brings a talent that he can throw the ball. And yeah, we all know it, the opponents know it, and he came out right out of the gate and hit a long, I don't know exactly how long it was, but it was over 50 yards right out of the gate, and it just, I think it put a shot in the arm to a lot of people that, you know, we can move the ball and go down the field. So that was good. It was good to have him back.
So, Coach, you know, we get so used to thinking Josh Davis and the horse and handing it to Josh doing the work, and you've got Dante McMillan that goes off for 13 carries, nearly 140 yards, and puts a touchdown up, average 10 yards a carry. Talk to us a little bit about the freshman, Dante McMillan.
Well, he's going to be a great player, and we've known it. We got him out of Seattle. He actually had a bunch of FBS offers at one time, and then Coach Duff did a great job recruiting him, got him down here. We knew he was going to be good, and he just continues to improve. And he's made some plays already this year. I think he had his fourth touchdown in that game on the season, so he's already made some plays for us this year, but he continues to get better. And that was one more of those adversities you talk about. Josh Davis went out pretty early in that game with that twisted ankle. And the between Dante McMillan and Daniel Wright, those guys came in and did a good job. We ran for nearly 250 yards on those guys who hadn't given up much rushing yards to this point. So that was a big deal in this game that those backup running backs played so well.
How bad is Josh Davis in his situation, Coach?
Well, we're hoping to have him back this week, but today and tomorrow will tell a lot on exactly where he gets back. And it is one of those ankle sprains that I think is not going to be 2 or 3 weeks. I think he'll be back sooner than later, but for this game, we don't know yet.
It's a frustrating injury, is it not? Just 'cause you never really know what the timetable is going to be on something like that.
Oh, they're a pain in the butt. They are. And, you know, Josh is tougher than nails, and so if anybody can get back in a week, it would be him. But that's kind of been this season, as I've explained before. You know, we've had to win now with Bronson Barron playing half of a game with a broken wrist, and then the next game he doesn't play, and now you have to win with your top tailback out for half a game. I mean, that's football, but this has been kind of one of those years right now.
So kind of rounding off now, what will be the end of the regular season coming up this weekend against Idaho State, from what I understand, Coach, correct? Or is Cal Poly going to be rescheduled? How will the end of this season going to be? Can it kind of round out?
No, I think this will be the last game, and there's a lot riding on it for us. You know, we got an outright conference championship, which Weber State's never had. So that's a big deal. And then, you know, a high seed in the playoffs, which is a big deal, and home field, hopefully. And there's a lot riding on us needing to pick up this game and go out and play well. So this is a big one for us.
As a guy that really, you know, I know you cut your teeth, especially at Utah, as a special teams guy. I know the block punt given up for a touchdown probably drives you nuts a little bit. Kind of take us through that and what your plans are on special teams going forward.
Well, that was a disaster, and you got to give Southern Utah a ton of credit. They schemed up a nice block against what we were doing. We didn't play great on special teams, which is very, very unusual for us. Usually that's, you almost just chalk that up each week as a win for us, but Southern Utah got us in that area. We didn't play very good. We didn't get any huge returns off, which we normally do. And bottom line, we got to be better this week. I think it was a wake-up call for our players. I got on them pretty hard yesterday in meetings just about that's not us and we can't ever act like that. But again, you got to give Southern Utah a ton of credit. They made a couple big plays in the kick game that, you know, swung that battle in their favor.
So now you get ready for a team that you saw already in Idaho State. Coach, you started out the season against them, got a good, solid win. If I remember right, talking to you after that game, you felt very good about a lot of the performance. Barron with 312 yards and solid in his debut. What's it like? I mean, preparing for a team that you've already seen once, do you expect the unexpected? How do you prepare for Idaho State now?
No, I think it's going to be very similar, in my opinion. I mean, the NFL teams have to do it every year, right? In their division, they play each team twice, once at home, once away. So this is nothing new to sports. In the NBA, they do it every year, multiple times, play at the same teams. And so I'm actually excited for it. This is only the second time in my career where we've played the same team twice. The first time was in 2019 when we beat Montana in the playoffs. So I'm actually excited for this, to play these guys again, and I think it's a good matchup. Their offense is playing very, very, very well right now. So I'm excited about what this game is for us and how our guys will come out and handle the situation.
Bit of a chess match, do you think? I mean, do you anticipate there's – and obviously, you know, you don't need to go on what you guys are going to do, but do you anticipate a lot of changes from what Idaho State did in that first game as opposed to the second?
No, I don't think so, just because what they're doing right now is working. And why would they change? They're getting a ton of yards in the throw game and also running the ball pretty effectively. So, I mean, there's always some little minor tweaks and changes or maybe a new play or two, but a wholesale change I don't foresee. If you do that, usually that's recipe for disaster. If you just go in there and think you're going to change it all up and you're not going to execute it, you'll make some major mistakes. That's not the recipe for success usually.
Outside of the Josh Davis ankle twist, Coach, are you fairly healthy?
No, I would not say that. We're relatively banged up, but I mean, this is football. I don't know that once the season starts, you ever have like all your starters ready to go. And we don't, we're down a bunch of guys, but that's okay. That's been a great opportunity for the backups to get a ton of reps. And it seems like each week we get maybe one guy back. We get a big one back this week. Clay Moss, who was a first-team all-conference guy for us in 2019, hasn't played yet, and we're expecting him to be back. And so we get a guy back here or there, but we're still down some key guys, and we just wait for those guys to come back.
Jay Hill joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Do you peek around what's going on around the rest of the country and looking at potential matchups and what the what other teams, especially in that top five or top 10 in the rankings, are looking like, and what that seeding may end up looking like here in a couple weeks?
Well, the only thing I know, and we don't really look at it that much, but the only thing I know is a lot of those top teams haven't played in the last couple weeks. You know, North Dakota State, South Dakota State haven't played. James Madison's not played. So a lot of teams in those top five, what people consider the top five, just haven't played recently. So that's about all I know. I'll look into it a lot more after we take care of business this weekend. But we just got too much riding on each week right now, and us, you know, having to play well ourselves. And the Big Sky right now, this is what's crazy. The Big Sky is good. Every team we've played this year is a legit, good, solid team. And you just can't overlook anybody in this league, or if you do, you'll be very disappointed. So I've been pretty happy with the overall play of the league.
Coach, I was interested to see how your defense came back a following week after Northern Arizona put up 240 yards on the ground, and how they would do against that rush, and obviously stood up better against the rush. I'm curious, did you guys emphasize and focus on rush defense? And we get so used to talking about your offense because of the specialty weapons you've got, but let's flip over and talk a little bit about this defense that played very well in run stop defense.
Well, it was really two games in a row. We played well the first week in the rush defense against Idaho State, and then we did not play good against UC Davis or NAU stopping the run, which is so uncharacteristic of us. So basically we kicked them in the butt and challenged them pretty good, and they responded like lights out. I think we held Southern Utah to 55 yards total rushing, and I think it was 2.3 a carry, and then we held them to 4.1 a pass attempt, which was outstanding because prior to that game, they were averaging over 10 yards a pass attempt, which is huge, and their quarterback was leading the Big Sky Conference in pass efficiency offense. So to hold the quarterback that's leading the league in pass efficiency offense to 4.1 attempt is outstanding. I can't say enough about how the defense played on Saturday. They were lights out, and I think we held them to 3 for 16 on third downs. I mean, they played very, very well.
So, you know, there's teams here in the Big Sky, you being one of them, that are playing. There's some teams that are not playing. And you don't need to go into specifics, but are there coaches out there that you're chatting with that are watching you play and saying, man, we wish we were out there with you guys right now. We wish we were having a season. I got to imagine it's tough for a lot of teams out there.
Well, it is. It's tough. And I think everybody wants to play, and I totally get why. Between COVID and weather, and I mean, everybody had, the ones that didn't play had reasons as to why they just didn't feel like they could pull it off.
Yeah.
The one thing that's interesting right now that people say, oh, well, you're missing some teams, the league's not the same. We've got every one of the people who've won a conference championship in the last 11 years, other than Portland State, every one of those teams is playing in the Big Sky right now. Wow. That's won a conference championship in the last 11 years. So the football is still very, very good right now.
You actually said something that caught me off guard. Weber State has not won an outright conference championship?
No, we've shared six of them. They've shared six. So I'm almost positive the one in the 60s was shared as well. But I know the last five for sure have been shared.
Wow.
Had no idea. You would thought with the recent success specifically that you had some outright, but I guess Big Sky has been extremely competitive.
It's crazy competitive. And with 13 teams and you don't get to play everybody, it makes it hard to win it outright just because, you know, there's a chance that the two top teams don't play. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so that's, it's hard to win an outright conference championship with 13 teams in a league right now.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck coming up on Saturday, and look forward to catching up with you next week, getting ready for those playoffs.
Go get them, Coach.
Okay, guys, appreciate it. Thanks.
Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, looking forward to cap off the season undefeated and pick up a high seed and get ready for those playoffs.
Also, another opportunity in Ogden to grab a ticket, get out and watch one of these games. You know, great stadium, great environment. Excellent team right now, 4-0. This is the final game of the regular season. It looks like Weber State fans are going to get a chance to watch some playoff games.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're in that stadium, so that's good. But
and you know what? I'm looking at the forecast. Saturday should be back in the mid-60s, sunny. Don't worry about what you're seeing today. By the time Saturday rolls around, you'll have a great weather day.
So get in front of it. Get some tickets. Get out there. Go watch a football game.
Let's make it happen. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, which you may have missed, coming up next.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
How scary was it with that flight for you?
I don't want to say that I'm just happy to be here, but it was scary. I've played professionally since I was 17, and I've never been through something like that. For my kid's life, I, for a good few minutes there, was like, we're going down. I think everyone on the plane at some point for some amount of time was praying or whatever they were doing, hoping that we were going to stay afloat. The pilot came over eventually and kind of explained what happened, and him being as calm as he was a little bit annoying because we were all crapping our decks, but he was pretty calm and I think kind of settled everyone down. So very scary experience, and I hope it happens to no one ever again because it wasn't fun. Yeah, it definitely rattled the group a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We'll be right back.
What you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. David Locke's going to join us coming up a little bit later on. We'll get knee-deep with him on the Jazz. But Jazz do see their winning streak snapped last night at the hands of the Dallas Mavericks. Jazz, again, kind of had the same vibe of the national championship game. Dallas got up big, and the Jazz tried to whittle away, and at times it'd get close, and then Dallas would push it right back up into the high teens, and then the Jazz would try to get it down to single digits, and then back it would go to 18, 19 points. And Dallas just couldn't miss last night. They were hitting everything. And for the Jazz, it was the exact opposite. They couldn't buy a three.
Could not buy a three, man. The good thing about this Jazz team is I stayed engaged all the way till, you know, three, four minutes left. And even as they started to push there in the final seconds, you're thinking, man, if they could just get a break and knock down a couple of these threes. But you just had so many different big misses. And Donovan was not good from the outside. Donovan really struggled on the perimeter. Royce O'Neal equally struggled in that one.
Yeah.
Those two combined for 0 of 16.
Yes.
In that game last night. And the Jazz ended up shooting 27%. You mentioned the Mavericks' shooting ability in that game last night. They shot 47% from three, not from the field. They shot 47% from three.
On 49 attempts, too.
On 49 attempts. Luka Doncic took 11 attempts himself and was 6 of 11.
Yeah.
Luka definitely had this game circled. And I was listening to some comments from Finney Smith after this game. And Dorian Finney-Smith, he talked about the two times that they had played the Jazz previous, Scotty, and he talked about how guys on the team were rehabilitating from COVID, and they just couldn't breathe. And the Jazz got two very convincing victories against Dallas earlier on in this year, here at Vivint Arena. And then Dorian Finney-Smith said that he had this game circled. And you know that it wasn't just him that had this game circled. You know, every one of those guys had this game circled. I was a little bit surprised to see that Porzingis did not play. I thought so, too. I thought he'd be available.
Yeah.
And they listed a wrist. The game before that he missed, they listed a knee. In this game, they listed a wrist. And I was kind of confused by what they're doing with him, but it looks like they're just going to try to really rest him as much as they possibly can. But you said it. Donovan Mitchell said it last night as well. This is a make-or-miss league. And this is a quote from Donovan that was actually encouraging to me. He said, sometimes it's just a make-or-miss league, and I don't think any of us are too concerned. How many turnovers did we have? What, 8? You know, I think we did a lot of good things. Generated good looks. The shots just didn't fall. Just move on to the next one. And I agree with that. I'm not going to judge off this Maverick game. And you know I've got some questions with this Jazz team.
Yeah.
You know I do. Everybody should.
Yeah.
I guess Jazz fans that are just, you know, Jazz-blind Jazz fans, that's fine. You can definitely feel that way. I've had some questions and concerns about the Utah Jazz and physical matchups and taking on the superstars in those matchups. And you've got Booker who's coming into town, or sorry, you're in Phoenix, but then you've got Damian Lillard who's coming into town. Those guys, they all have you circled.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with this physicality and you're dealing with these matchups, I do want to see them at least win one of the next two, which are back-to-back games coming up with Phoenix that starts tomorrow and then Portland the night after. I want to see them at least win one of the two. I don't expect them to win both, just one of the two. Play well in both and show that you're ready to take on these stars that have you circled. That's what I want. I'm not – this Dallas, this one game against the Dallas Mavericks, it isn't enough to force me into a negative conversation here. They just didn't make their shots. They didn't hit their threes, and they had plenty of open looks.
Yeah. If the Jazz shoot their average in that game from three-point line, Jazz are 40% three-point shooting team. They shot 27% last night. If they shoot their average – that gives them 17 made threes. That gives you essentially 15 more points in this game, and you're right there with Dallas.
Yeah.
Just shoot your average.
Just shoot your average.
They shot their average. They're right there with a chance to win this game. And even with everything else, Dallas doing everything equal.
Shooting above their average.
Yeah.
Dallas shot well above their average.
And the thing is with the Jazz, they were good looks too. Like, how many times did we see Royce O'Neal miss a baseline three? Mm. Wide open baseline three. And that happens. Like that, and that's the thing. That happens throughout the course of a year. I'm not throwing Royce under the bus. I mean, Donovan went 0 for 8. But those are shots that he makes. And last night, for whatever reason, that didn't happen. You go Jim Boylan here, ball didn't go in the hoop. And sometimes it can be as simplistic as that.
Yeah, I hope that this doesn't become a trend for Royce because – and I saw people already throwing out questions about, is Royce okay? Can we trust Royce?
Oh,
Royce, it's like, no, Royce has enough body of work defensively that even if he's got to focus more on that and shave it from 8 attempts down to 4 or 5, which, you know, Royce O'Neal isn't exactly a volume shooter, he'll be fine. He just needs to start making a couple of those. And last night was an off game. It was an off game, horribly off. I mean, even the finish to that, where Bojan Bogdanović, he streaks at the rim for that final layup.
Yeah.
And it didn't go in. And you'd see Bojan drop his head like, "Are you really? So this is just the kind of night?
This is the night we've got right here, yep."
I couldn't believe that shot didn't go in, man. I was like, oh, jeez. Oh, that's going to be a conversation piece in the locker room. But extremely frustrating for this team, I'm sure, in this loss. A couple of good notes that came out of this. Mike Conley played exceptional. Mike Conley was the rarity on the court. I thought Rudy did some very good things.
Yeah.
I saw some stuff that David Locke was tweeting out about the way Dallas was handling Rudy. Some of the top of the key contact and some of the physicality that they were using. But I thought Mike Conley's game was very solid.
Did everything he could in the first half to keep that game within reach. And then Dallas just pulled away in the second half. But, I mean, look, he's 8 of 13 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, perfect from the free throw line. Dishes out 7 assists, scores 28 points. I mean, and when he's out on the court, the Jazz are plus 1.
What did you say he was from 3? Sorry.
6 of 10.
Jeez.
But here's the thing. The Jazz, their starters were plus. Donovan Mitchell, even with the rough night he had, plus 2. Royce O'Neal was plus 4 when he was out there on the court. It was the bench that really gave the Jazz problems last night. George Niang, minus 10. Derek Favors, minus 11. Jordan Clarkson, minus 14. Joe Ingles, minus 17 when he was out on the court.
Hmm. Do you have the numbers for the Mavericks bench? I'll be interested to...
Mavericks bench, they only had an 8-man rotation, 3 guys coming off the bench. Brunson, plus 8. Hardaway, plus 12. Dwight Powell, plus 11.
Brunson was a problem, wasn't he?
Yeah. The Brunson burner. That's not mine. It was Big T used it last night. I was referencing a line from Thurl Bailey.
Boo to him, too.
Why don't you like it?
Not a fan.
Is it a Brunson? I thought, is it a Bunsen?
Or
is it
it's a Bunsen.
Why are you after everybody about this nickname? It's pretty good. I think it's got some pizzazz.
It's got some legs to it.
Did you like...
It's on fire.
Did you like science class?
I didn't mind it. It wasn't my favorite, but, you know.
It could have been more fun if they just let you enjoy it.
I didn't mind carving into a frog. I mean, it was fine.
You know how I hated the periodical table. I hated it.
Really? Did you have to memorize it?
Yeah. I hated it. And I had Miss Grunky, and I really liked Miss Grunky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's up, Mama?
No, not that way. She was my 7th grade science teacher. I liked her, but she hated me. And I could feel it.
Did you put her on the apology tour?
I did put her on the apology tour.
About 2 years ago.
2019.
About 2 years ago, Hans felt really bad about what he did in school and on Facebook reached out to every teacher and apologized.
I did. I absolutely did that.
All except for one, right?
Except for one. Wait, who's the one?
This is the one that's no longer with us?
Yeah.
No, I think that person's with us, but yeah.
To apologize?
I'm trying to remember which one. Oh, the one I put against the wall.
I still can't believe you did that.
Twice. I apologized to one of them. The other one deserved it.
No, no, stop.
They did.
Because they called the parents?
Yeah. There's nothing. I'm a senior in high school, and I got teachers calling my parents.
Well, you're still in high school.
I know, but I was...
They're still your legal guardians.
Well, I was 18. I didn't need them to call my parents. They could have just had a very good conversation with me.
Yeah, I'm sure that would
have. Would have really helped the situation.
Like that would have ended things. Up in the same place they ended up.
Yeah, up against the wall.
Science class is where I sat in the back next to Wendy.
Oh!
Wendy Negrete!
Not Negrete.
I wasn't saying anything.
That's where
I thought that was a geography class.
Nope. That's where I learned a lot of the words to Warren G's rap songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seventh grade. Snoop Dogg and Warren G started to become a thing.
Oh, and you get mad at the music I was listening to.
Those two are like choir boys next to the music that you were listening to. I want you to please admit that.
I think we all listen to a lot of rap
that
music.
That stuff you listen to is pretty rough.
Yeah, right, Lloyd?
Lloyd, you listen to it too. Don't throw me under the bus. You knew exactly the group I was listening to.
It was a good group.
Let's just say it wasn't the Cul-de-Sac Boys.
Hey, it's time for the UNA Golf Masters giveaway. Be calling number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE, and find out what player you'll be representing in this year's Masters tournament. We will assign you a golfer if you're calling number 12, and if your golfer ends up winning the Masters, you will receive the same brand of driver that player has in their bag. Call right now, 855-340-ZONE. It's 855-340-ZONE. It's all brought to you by UNA Golf. Serving Utah golfers since 1971. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.